God bless all of you who have called in and are on our airwaves. We are very, very blessed to have you part of this fellowship. Today I want to talk about something that's hardly ever mentioned, but it's in God's Word. And yet, it's something that we all do, we've done, and we're going to do in the future. But we're going to see how it was handled in God's Word. And I want to point out real quick our theme verse, and that is Ephesians 4:26. But I'm going to read this one out of the New Living Translation. And Ephesians 4:26 simply says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry." I can remember growing up, my mother had a lot of wise words for me. Why? Because she loved me, and I'm her son. And one of them was, she says, "You shouldn't stay angry because you're just causing more problems for yourself than the other person you're angry at." The first time she said that to me, I was like, what? But I understood it, you know, and she was right. You get angry with someone or something, and you just hang on to it. It just disrupts the rest of your peace. And God says it in His Word. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let that control you. And unfortunately, a lot of people do. And that's a sad commentary. So that's our theme verse. But I have a question for everyone here. And I know the answer, but I'm still going to ask you. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever been angry? By a show of hands, how many think you've got that lick, you'll never be angry again? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Jesus dealt with this situation, and we'll see that in a moment, which brings me to the title of tonight's sharing, and it's simply, Jesus was human. Jesus was human. So we can't say that He was a special set-aside human than us. No. Same heart. Same temptations confronted Him, same things caused Him to get upset. When Jesus got angry, He walked away with wisdom. He walked away with wisdom. And afterwards, and then He moved on from that anger that He displayed. He didn't stay there and mull it over. Do you think it took Him days or even hours to get over that? Absolutely not. The answer is no. As we'll see, the five times Jesus got angry in God's Word. What about you and I? Again, what about you and I when it comes to this anger? Let's read our theme verse again. Be angry and sin not, or be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. God puts that in there for a reason and for a purpose, because He knows that there's going to be times when we're angry. Simple as that. He's not trying to have you justify it. Oh, but I'm angry for a good reason. No. You're taking away the peace you have within with the anger that you're holding on to. Let it go. Get over it. Let's read an important part of this command. We just read verse 26 of Ephesians 4. But look what it says in verse 27. It says, "For anger gives a foothold to the devil." People don't think about that when they're pissed, or when they're angry. It gives a foothold to the devil. Again, you're taking your attention off of God and all the things you should be peaceful about, and you're just swimming in that pool of anger. And that's what he wants, because, you know, he's caused to upset a believer's life. Yeah. We have a just God, and things happen to everybody across the board. But He really doesn't concern Himself so much with those who don't believe God or have made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. He wants us, the other Jesuses in the world. And that's why you give Him a foothold when you're angry. Now let's look at the five times Jesus got angry. Some of these we always mention and talk about, but I want to look at it in a critical sense. These all reveal a lot about Him, Jesus Christ. The first one, I'm going to call it prioritizing religious rituals over human needs. I'll say that again. Prioritizing religious rituals over human needs. And for this, I would ask you all to go to Mark. And when you get to Mark, go over to chapter 3. I think most of these I'll be reading in the NLT. But nonetheless, Mark 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus and Jesus's enemies watched him closely. They were just sitting there in the wing, just waiting to see what he was going to do. Remember, it's the Sabbath day. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. He wasn't doing it in the alley or behind closed doors. He said, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to the critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. Yeah, because they were caught in what he was saying. He looked around at them angrily. Jesus gets mad. He did. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once, the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from east of the Jordan River, and even from as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. So you see, he didn't hold on to this anger that the Sadducees were accusing him of doing it on the Sabbath. He did what he was going to do and healed people and moved on. He let it go. Okay? A side note. Like I said, we're going to look at different usages of this word anger. But the point being, Jesus was not happy when he was angry. And neither are you and neither am I. So what do we do about it? We let it go. We walk away. We go and do something that's worthwhile, that brings us joy. Okay? Because whatever upset you or made you angry isn't going to change. It's happened. Let it go and move on. And that's what Jesus did many, many times. Number two, we're going to simply call this one, Jesus with the parents and their children as Jesus was preaching and teaching. And for this one, we need to go to the book of Mark, which we're there already. And let's go to chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 13. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Would you believe that? When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry. He was angry with his disciples. Oh, Jesus got upset with the disciples? He sure did, in this case. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these little children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. That's all he wanted to do. But these guys were saying, oh, no, he's too busy for you. Really? Jesus' business was doing his Father's will. Jesus' business was healing people. Jesus' business was raising people from the dead. Jesus' business was spreading the love of God and helping others to learn from his examples, even though He got angry at times. There's a lot implied in this record. How's our believing like those who are conformed to this world, or like little children with pure hearts reaching out for help? How are our hearts conformed to the deeds of this world, and they let us harden our hearts? Or do we reach out like these children for help? Number three, the cleansing of the temple. Now, this is a verse I know you're going to know, but all too often what we hear is Jesus turned these tables over and said, go. But there's a reason he did it. And there's a reason God puts these in his word, so that we have an example to look at. And what would we do? Or what would we have done? Was Jesus justified with what he did, with what we're going to read? Absolutely. The anger is not mentioned here, but it can be implied by Jesus' reaction. Okay? So we need to go to John, the book of John, please. And John chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up at verse 13. You know, this record kind of reminds me in a way of like your parents are leaving town. They're leaving you at home by yourself, and you're telling your friends, "Man, my parents are going to go, so we're going to just party up in this house, break out the liquor, and da 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 da." So your parents go to see grandma, and you guys are just having a good old time, but your parents. We forgot something. Let's go back home. They come home and they see this going on. You think they'd be upset? Absolutely. Mine would. You know, she wouldn't. My mother wouldn't come in the house and say, "Hey, party on, son." No, she'd be upset. She'd be totally upset. She'd be upset. So, in John chapter 2, starting in verse 13, it was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes. So he's getting pretty ticked. He made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle, scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor, and turned their tables over. Then, going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures: "Passion for God's house will consume me." That simply is saying that Jesus Christ was upset for the Father. He was like, I can't believe you're doing this. You know, he was taking it out because he was really wanting to represent his Father and what he intended that temple to be. So this caused him to go over the edge, if you will. The next similar event takes place in the book of Matthew, please. It's not the same event, but it's very similar. And when you get to Matthew, go to chapter 21. And verse 12. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of all those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles," they cannot deny it, "and heard even the children in the temple shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David.' But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' And Jesus said, 'Yes, He replied, "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise." Not God, you. They were full of themselves. So this is one of the reasons Jesus was upset. And he displayed that by his actions. And for two more episodes of his anger, 4 and 5, here Jesus' anger two times, not at a particular person, but at sickness itself. Jesus was angry with sickness itself. The Gospels use some form of the word anger, such as compassion, or Jesus was both angry and troubled. Both are not something we want to hold on to. Neither did Jesus. Neither did Jesus. And to see this, please go to John chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 31. There are records in God's word where God doesn't use the word angry, but you know that how Jesus reacted, and if you put yourself in his shoes, you would be too. The word angry does not need to be mentioned, but it was covered anyway with these two words that we'll see. John 11:31. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, as they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's a human reaction. That's natural for someone to say that, especially knowing what Jesus has done. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. Again, this is not in a person, but it's the fact of this sickness. And he was deeply troubled. Verse 34, "Where have you put him?" Jesus speaking. He asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. So from being angry, he also cried. Did Jesus have emotions? Absolutely. Just like you and I. Just like you and I. And it's okay to show them. But the key with the anger is not to hang on to it. Is not to hang on to it. Verse 36. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him?" But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Logical question. Logical question. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. It was inside of him that this had to happen, this sickness. Because you have to know that Jesus knows the adversary's evil ways, and that that sickness is not from God, his Father. Healing is. Healing is. Again, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside. This is what Jesus was saying. Roll the stone aside. Jesus told them, "But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, 'Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible.'" Jesus responded, "Don't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" Again, we cannot look at the circumstances. We got to focus on what needs to be done and what can be done. Verse 41, so they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and get him and let him go." We must stop our knee-jerk reactions to this anger. Because unfortunately, that's what a lot of us do. Something ticks us off, and boom, we respond right away without thinking, without using wisdom, without using the love of God. You might ask, how can I have the love of God in me when I'm angry at the same time? You can. Because first of all, it's already there. It's already there. Before the anger, the love of God was already there. So that should trump the anger. That should at least cause you to quench the anger rather quickly. And the sooner you do that, then you're back on the peaceful side of things. And if you say to me, oh, that can't be done, I will tell you, yes, it can. Why? Because of my wisdom? No. God's wisdom. God's wisdom. So I wanted to let you know that God says to put it off, to put this anger off. So let's follow his advice and Jesus' example. After all, why would God put this in his word? To make a new good movie when we get to this stage in life? Oh man, Sony's going to have a really great time making this movie where Jesus is all ticked off. No, it's in there so that we can learn from even Jesus Christ, who was perfect, who did his Father's will, but he also had emotions like you and I. And he got angry, not often, but a few times. But God put that in his word so that we could learn how to deal with situations. This one wasn't about him being angry, but do you remember the lady who they were going to stone because of her being a harlot or what have you? Remember how they were out waiting for Jesus to do something? What did Jesus do? Did he just snap right away with a knee-jerk reaction? No, he was kind of like writing in the sand and stuff because he was going to the Father. He may not have verbalized it in an audible fashion, but yet he was still going to the Father and saying, show me what to do. So what did he say? If any of you have never sinned, say, and they all let one by one. Then he told the woman, sin no more and go thy way, right? It's the same thing with anger. There's no one in this room that has never been angry or that's not going to get angry. I have to catch myself at work at times because people do things, they're so, but that's it. I'm going to do what I know how to do, and I want to keep the peace of God in me. So I trust that this maybe caused you to think a little bit more about the next time you might get upset over something. Let's just get over it and use that love that's instilled in our bodies through that Holy Spirit, okay? So, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for showing us things like this so that we can learn from them and we can follow Jesus Christ's examples. Again, why else would you put it in your word? And I pray for each heart here tonight and those who have called in that they're reminded the next time they get upset about something or someone to let it go, Father, and to grab on to the peace that the world could never give us and your love, absolutely. So I just pray that you give everyone the strength and the memory to be able to recall that, Father, after some of the examples we just saw, that even Jesus Christ got angry. But he didn't hold that, Father. He let it go and moved on and continued doing your will. He continued healing people and continued using your love. So help us do the same, Father. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.